Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to see you all here. We have a good crowd today. So I ran along a quote this week that really stood out to me and got me thinking. This quote is from the man who founded the state of Pennsylvania, actually, William Penn. He said that time is what we want the most, but what we use the worst. Time is what we want the most, but what we use the worst. When I think about that quote, it seems to me that sadly there is some truth to that statement. Time is one of the most valuable things that we have. We only have so much of it. And when it is gone forever. There is no looking back. And there are plenty of times in my life that I know that I'm not making the best time or use of my time. But it would be a good idea for us all to use the time that we have as wisely as we can. Today I would like to look and see a few examples in the Bible about the time that we have and a few points on some things that we should be doing with that time. To start out, over in the book of James 4, verse 13. Again, that's James 4. Verse 13, it says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go out to such and such a city, spend a year there and buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." As we can see, we don't really know how much time that we have. It says our life is like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. I'm not all that old yet, and the average lifespan of someone in America is about 80 years. But if the next 27 years of my life goes as fast as it felt like the first ones did, I better slow down. When we look ahead 5 years from now, it feels like so long, and we have plenty of time. But when we look back 5 years ago, it seems like just yesterday. And we wonder where that time went. Knowing how fast time can go by makes us think about what we are doing with that time, especially when we know there is no guarantee for tomorrow. Just like the verse says. It could only be 5 more years, or 50, or 70 years. It could be 5 more days. We don't know. We don't know when our time is up on this earth, or when Christ will return. There is no way of knowing. Only God knows that. So with this amount of time that we have, however long that may be, what does the Bible say about that length of time that we are given? Well, over in Ephesians 5, verse 8, again, that's Ephesians 5, verse 8. He's speaking to the church, and he writes in verse 8, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them." We can see it is speaking to those who were once in darkness, but who are now in light. Or in other words, those who are in the world and who have been sinners, but have now been called by God and have His truth revealed to them. Just like the same situation that we are all in right now. Then dropping down to verse 15, it says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." We can see the first point he is making is to discern the will of God. It says it in verse 10 and again in verse 17. Make the best use of the time we are in, don't be foolish, and understand the will of God, it says. So for our first point today, is to make a genuine effort to understand His will. Make an effort to spend some of our time studying, praying, and fasting, so we can better understand what it is He wants us to be doing. So we know His commandments and His feast days, and we can learn how to treat one another and to live a life with love. Before we can try and walk as Christ did, or as of children of light, we need to spend time finding out exactly what that even means. Through studying His word, we can learn what things are important to living a righteous life, both in how we act towards God and through how we act towards each other. Back up in verse 8 again, it says, "If you are one time darkness, but you are light in the world, walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord, and take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness." It says the fruit of light is found in all that is good, right, and true, and to take no part in what is unfruitful, works of darkness. So before we can do anything else, we must first discern the will of God, finding out what is good, what is right, and what is true, by spending time in His word, studying. Next, he goes on in verse 18, but we're going to start in verse 17 again. And it says, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand the will of the Lord, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery." Well, that seems kind of odd, doesn't it? We go from understand the will of God to don't get drunk. This warning pops up in other places as well, when talking about walking in light and being children of light. Over in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3, in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, this is concerning the day of the Lord. It says in verse 3, "While people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman. And they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for you are for the day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober." We can see here that those who are called are told again to be sober. We know to be drunk is not good, and it can lead to all kinds of bad things. But in this context, I don't think he's only talking about being sober from alcohol, but more so to be have a sober mindset in life, to be spiritually sober, with a clear mind and focus. Our second point today is to stay spiritually sober. A sober person knows the value of things and what to focus and prioritize. That same person being drunk will have those values skewed and will focus on the wrong things and make poor judgments. We all have a million things going on in life, and we have to prioritize some parts over others. It's our choice on what we choose to spend our time on. Like we saw in the first point, we can learn what to spend more of our time with, and what to prioritize by studying God's word. But Satan, he always has a way of distorting that view and making us spiritually drunk. The way of the world and the weight and the burden this world puts on us is like alcohol. If we partake in it too much, it can distort our vision. Someone may have done the right thing. They spent time in the Word and they know the will of God. But when it comes to the hardest part, putting that knowledge to action, the weight of this world and the distractions from Satan can make us spiritually drunk. Yes, knowing the will of God, but spending too much time prioritizing the wrong things. To the point where it messes up our focus and decision making, just as if we are drunk. We will always have things in the world distracting us and pulling our focus away. We can find our precious time flying by focused on the wrong things. There are things that seem important to the world, but in reality are fruitless. And there are always burdens in this world we'll put on us and try to distract us from what is really important. It's important not to spend all our time focused on the pulls of this world, making us spiritually drunk, focused on the wrong things, and blurring our decision-making and our ability to discern the signs of the time. Yes, we have to take part in this world. We have to deal with a wide range of distractions. We are told to be in the world, but we are not told to be of the world. We must keep our priorities straight and approach everything we do with a sober viewpoint, putting into action what God's will is for us. This is no easy task to stay sober from the pulls of the world. So what does God say to help us with this task? Well, continuing back in Ephesians 5, verse 18, it says, "And do not get drunk with the wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God our Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." So here we can see he gives us the antidote for becoming spiritually drunk. He says instead of becoming drunk, be filled with the Spirit instead, by addressing one another with songs, praises to our Father in heaven. What better way is there to gain strength to stay sober from this world's distractions than to have a constant reminder to each other and uplifting songs and testimony of the good works God has done for one another? The last point today is to use our time to fill one another with an uplifting spirit, addressing one another with uplifting voices and praise to our Father, with testimonials and thanksgiving to strengthen our faith and perseverance. In a world with so much distraction, it's so easy to spend our time prioritizing the wrong things. But if we uplift one another and strengthen one another, we can stay the course, bringing our focus back to the will of God, not the pulls of this world and our desires. After a long, stressful week, there is nothing better than coming together with brethren on the Sabbath day, singing praises to God together, and to hear the uplifting voices of our brethren speak the mighty works God has done for them. No one knows how much longer we have to encourage one another, but these things are so important for us to stay spiritually sober in this intoxicating world. The quote we read in the beginning said, "Time is what we want the most, but what we use the worst." Yes, time never stops, and our lives feel like they're moving fast. And though we don't have much, or we don't know how much time we have, it doesn't mean we can't make good use of that time. Whatever time we have been given is a gift straight from our Heavenly Father. A gift and an opportunity if we are called to walk in light, and which brings so much joy and happiness to ourselves and to those around us. But before we can act on anything, we must first spend time to discern the will of God, finding out what is good, what is right, and what is true, by spending our time in His Word studying. It is not always easy to put God's will into action, but with the pulls of the world and the burdens of this world trying to intoxicate us by having our time focused on the wrong things, causing us to lose our sober spiritual perspective and our ability to discern the events around us. But if we use our time wisely, we can fill each other with an uplifting spirit, addressing one another with an uplifting voices and praise to our Father, with testimonials and thanksgiving to strengthen one another. Again, over in Ephesians 5, verse 15, it says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time that we are in."